Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast right here on Tucson.com and the Wildcaster app. I'm Justin Spears, joined alongside here Dominic Pachaco. We have another edition of Arizona Basketball Strictly Podcast.
I promised you guys you'd be hearing more of that.
So, Arizona basketball, by the way, Bruce Pasco, Arizona Daily Star beat writer for Arizona basketball, he'll be joining us here in the next few minutes to talk about Arizona going to the Bahamas, everything you need to know about the upcoming recruiting class. You know, Bruce is going to the Bahamas for Thanksgiving.
Poor guy.
Poor soul. He's got to spend his Thanksgiving eating turkey on an island. So, anyways, we're talking strictly Arizona basketball. And also coming up later in the podcast, we'll also talk about our top five freshmen, because Sean Miller said some pretty juicy stuff about DeAndre Ayton and his potential to be the greatest of all time at Arizona, which is saying something considering there's been so many great talents.
Absolutely. Evan, we'll dive into that a little bit.
Yeah.
So see how our lists coincide.
So, all right, Dom. Arizona's 3-0, of course. They're a top three team in the country. Pretty much having the start that everybody expected them to have. Going up against NAU, Maryland, Baltimore County, Cal State Bakersfield. Really, the only team that gave them any sort of fits was Cal State Bakersfield, and they still ended up winning by 25. I mean, which is crazy.
When that's their tough game
and they still win with ease, yeah. I think things are going right for Arizona.
And, you know, what's impressed me with this team so far this year is, and I know we're, I mean, I don't want to jump to conclusions because it's three home games against, you know, three bottom tier opponents. But, you know, what I'm seeing from this team that we haven't seen in years past is how loose they're playing.
Yeah.
You know, the two guys that have stood out to me in the early goings are Ira Lee, who, you know, isn't getting the attention that maybe Emmanuel Acott and DeAndre Ayton and Alex Barcelo and some of these other freshmen are getting. But he's came in and he's played some valuable minutes and he's playing really loose. And one thing I've noticed with him is he's having fun. You know, he's making baskets. He's crashing the board on offensive rebounds. I don't think it was the Cal State Bakersfield game, but the game before that.
UMBC.
UMBC. I remember there were offensive free throws and he crashed the glass on a miss and got a put back dunk. And he was laughing, clapping up. Run across the court to the other end to get back on D. So he's out there having fun, you know. He's a freshman on top three team in the country, and he's enjoying the moment. And then you look at a guy like Alonzo Trier, who's been here and done this for a couple years, and he's playing so much more fluid than I think we saw him last year. And I think him having an entire offseason helps that a lot. You know, had the entire offseason to kind of get ready, and he hit the ground running at the beginning of the year, whereas last year he had the suspension and kind of came in the middle of the year and had to get his feet under him. I think you're seeing him. I mean, right now when he shoots the ball, you can tell it's going in.
Yeah.
I mean, what is he shooting right now? Over 70%.
Over 70%. I mean, he's averaging 30 points a game.
Yeah, and that clip, I mean, it's not sustainable, but he's playing out of his mind. And I think I've never seen him play, as Sean Miller would say, with so much poise. And he's playing really loose. And the entire team right now, I think, is just having fun. And I think that's a really big aspect that you haven't seen in a lot of Arizona teams in the past. They're kind of uptight and tense. And I think they're, you know, kind of, you know, getting their feel out early in the season.
It's almost like they're a fifth year.
Right.
But it's the start of the season. Uh-huh. And that is actually a good point that you say they're playing loose, because I think everybody on this team knows their role.
Absolutely.
You know, when usually a program like Arizona, where they're known for just bringing in one and dones, bringing in the best of the best when it comes to freshmen, usually those guys are. It kind of takes them a while to get used to everything. This team has the right blend of youth, right blend of experience, and of course the coaching staff is great because you have pretty much two Hall of Fame, college basketball Hall of Fame head coaches on your bench in Sean Miller and Lorenzo Romar. Which is crazy to think. And you know, Ira Lee, he's not starting. Man, there was even kind of like a murmur or a rumor that with everybody that's playing, you know, Keandu Pinder's not going to slide down the bench. So there was even a rumor that Ira Lee could possibly redshirt. And when Bruce Pasco, who's going to join us in the next few minutes, when he asked Miller, was there any thought of Ira Lee redshirting at the beginning of the year, Miller said no without any hesitation. So, right. I mean, he shut that down real quick. But you see Ira Lee come in, and he's athletic enough to play the wing, but he's also big enough and strong enough to play in the post. He's a bench player. He knows his role. He's going to come off and be that fun guy that Arizona can rely on when guys like DeAndre Ayton and Dusan Ristic are on the bench. So,
and you bring up kind of how they mesh together. I mean, they're playing as a unit right now, and you say that they're all, you know, kind of content in their roles. They're all accepting, you know, what their role is to make this Wildcats team successful. And I think they're all obviously have their sights on winning, getting to a Final Four. But, you know, obviously first win a Pac-12 championship and, you know, maybe getting a one seed in the tournament. And they have all those goals planned out. And them playing together as a cohesive unit this early in the year with as many personalities as they have on that team. I mean, you got how many potential first-round picks? And to see them playing this well together this early in the year, you know, I think it would have been fair to question early, you know, before the season started, how is this team going to bond together? You know, are they going to clash when it's the last second in a Pac-12 game, you know, that could decide Pac-12 tournament seeding? You know, is Alonzo Trier going to give up the ball, you know, to get that extra shot? Or is, you know, is the extra pass going to be there? Are they going to share the ball as much as they have been? And I think the answer is there through three games. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely.
This week they're playing NC State on Wednesday in the Battle for Atlantis in the Bahamas, and winner of that game will take on the winner of Purdue and Villanova. That'd be the championship game.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, they're playing three games in 3 days, but first off, they have NC State on Wednesday. This is also the homecoming of DeAndre Ayton. He grew up in Nassau, Bahamas. This is going to be Paradise Island. Two very different places where DeAndre Ayton grew up at. We talked to DeAndre after the game against Cal State Bakersfield, and this is what he had to say about his homecoming.
What a big crowd. You know, Arizona's about to shut it down. Right.
You already have like a lot of people that you know that are going to be there?
Some of these people I don't even know. They're just telling me they're rooting for us, and you know, the mom is really just having that. Just rooting for U of A in this tournament, Battle for Atlantis.
What's the first thing? Because I mean, obviously, you're going to be in a team setting. What's the first thing you want to do, see when you get back there?
Energy. I just want to hear a lot of chanting. Billboards.
Billboards. DeAndre Ayton wants billboards when he goes back to the Bahamas.
Man, I'll tell you, he's deserved them so far.
All right. Well, those are just our quick observations. We're going to go ahead and talk to Bruce Pasco, and then we'll go ahead and jump right in.
By the way, that possible Thanksgiving matchup in the second round of Battle for Atlantis, presuming Wildcats get past NC State in the first round, would it be against UNI, who's been a sneaky tournament team
over the years,
or Southern Methodist? So it's going to be a good tournament. They got some, you know, marquee names in there, and it'll be interesting to see what the Wildcats got.
UNI is one of those, like you said, like sneaky teams, SMU, they're not always the best, but they always have good athletes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Arizona will definitely be challenged this weekend in the Bahamas. So, anyways, let's go ahead and talk to Bruce Pasco and hear about what his thoughts are and all things Arizona basketball and recruiting. So we'll talk to Bruce right now. All right, and we're here with Arizona Daily Star, a basketball beat writer, Bruce Pasco. Bruce is getting ready to take on the Bahamas. Bruce, man, you've been all over the world covering Arizona basketball, but did you ever think you'd ever go to the Bahamas?
It's a tough tough job, man, but somebody's got to do it. They say, right? Something like that. And,
you're poor guy.
You know, the Bahamas, I mean, this tournament, you know, started, what, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and I kind of thought maybe at some point they would do it. And they actually took an exhibition trip to the Bahamas in 2012, and I was trying to lobby to go to that one. We didn't go, but it was pretty inconsequential, so it was just as well. But yeah, no, this, I love traveling, and you know, I like doing what I'm doing, so it's a great combination. I'm super lucky. There's no question about that.
Absolutely. All right, Bruce. Well, three games in, Arizona will have their. I shouldn't say it's their first road game because you technically want to say it's a neutral site game, but it's they're on the road for the first time this season. They're going overseas. Just what do you kind of take away from just the first three games? And what to expect from the freshmen as they look to hit the road for the first time?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting. It's probably a good transition because it's not going to be a true road environment. I mean, I think probably the only fans that are there are going to be East Coast and well-heeled boosters who can afford to go to the Bahamas over Thanksgiving because it's super expensive. And, you know, so it's not going to be like a crazy road environment. I don't think they'll see that until they get to New Mexico in the middle of December. I mean, I don't even think UNLV will be like that. But on the other hand, it's going to be a different environment. It's like a, I guess it's like a glorified ballroom that they play these games in. It's going to be a different atmosphere, kind of neutral court. I think Ayton may generate a little bit of a home court environment, which would probably be good for them, of course. And then, you know, and you've got the pressure of being on ESPN or at least ESPN3 and getting the exposure that way. And then, you know, playing pretty high level teams, even, you know, the opener NC State, and then they could face, you know, possibly SMU or Northern Iowa in the second game. And then if they get to the final, if they keep winning, then of course it's still an open. So they're really three pretty high level games in 3 days. And that's going to be a test on just everybody's confidence and durability and all those kind of things. That's, you know, really what makes these multi-team events in November kind of interesting to see how teams can handle it.
So, Bruce, you talk about durability and seeing how these guys pan out over three straight days of basketball. Is that kind of their toughest challenge they're facing over the next week? Or, I mean, what else can pop up in the Bahamas that the Wildcats might face that they haven't in the first three games at home?
Well, I think it'd be more on the court, you know, whether they face, you know, I think NC State's defense, the way they apparently can go after him a little bit in zone and trap or, you know, maybe cause some problems, maybe some things there they haven't seen quite. But they do have so much depth, as you guys know, that three games in 3 days shouldn't be a problem. If anything, it'll be a good thing because it can spread out the minutes and everybody still stays happy, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I don't, you know, I think when you have a 7-man rotation and you go into one of these things or 8-man, you're kind of scared a little bit. And Miller has shown when they've gone to Maui in a similar format, and he's actually tweaked his substitution patterns a little bit, but they're so deep this year. And now they've got everybody back except Raleigh Hawkins. And so I don't think that should affect them too much, but so it's just going to be a matter of playing better teams and possibly a little bit of style. And the fact that these opponents now have some game video of guys like Ayton to figure out what to do with him or at least to give it a shot. So there'll be some different wrinkles like that, I think.
Now, Bruce, we've seen the Wildcats come out and just, I mean, absolutely blitz some opponents here. I mean, we're seeing 20, 30-point games in the early goings, kind of what we expect with how much talent the Wildcats have. But will they run into any adversity in the Bahamas? I mean, will there be any back-and-forth games, maybe if they get to that potential championship matchup with Villanova? Is there any adversity out there that the Wildcats can expect to face?
Yeah, I think if they get to that final at Villanova, I think that NC State's going to, you know, from what it sounds like, they're pretty good, and they're pretty good defensively. They could cause them some trouble, and again, as good as these guys are and as polished as the freshmen look, they're still freshmen. It's still the first time they're going to be away from McHale and on camera and all ESPN camera, et cetera. So, you know, deep down there could be a little bit of that, although these guys do appear to be super cool and confident. So it'll be a really good test to see are they really that way. Because you're right, as good as they played in those first three games, they were three home games. And, you know, Bakersfield was a pretty good team, and UMBC was pretty good, and they beat them really good. So it was, you know, they've really shown not a whole lot of weaknesses right now, and they you know, just a little bit on defense, and they corrected that the other night. So, you know, now they have to go out in a new environment and show they can still do it. But, you know, that's really the only thing. But yeah, I think they'll have moments of, a moments of adversity. I don't think they can just crush through this field. I don't think that's going to happen.
And Bruce, you put out an article the other day talking about Arizona's recruiting class for the 2018 class. One being Sharif O'Neill and Brandon Williams, both signed financial non-binding papers. So in case, you know, worst comes to worst, and Sean Miller somehow is out of a job at Arizona, that they're able to back out and go elsewhere. However, I mean, it still provides, I get you said optimism, or Sean Miller said optimism, because these are legit guys that are committed to playing for Arizona. So, I mean, can you just talk about the class and what could potentially be another great Sean Miller class, but could also be a just complete disappointing class?
Right. I mean, you know, it's completely up in the air right now. We don't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what's going to happen. I don't think he'd probably be, you know, it may, you know, as far as the investigations and how that might involve recruiting, because if what's found in the federal complaint, if that's all there is, and maybe there's more to it, but most of those were, you know, of course, recruiting things. And generally speaking, when you have violations involving that, a lot of times it involves, they take away scholarships, they take away official visits. You know, they might sit a coach off of the road during recruiting times. All those sort of things can happen and maybe are going to happen. So, and maybe not, you know, depending on what they find. So there's just so much uncertainty right now. I think what this happened is this allowed Miller to at least say, hey, we've got these two guys. They're good guys. We like them, blah, blah, blah. And to kind of show the rest of the recruiting world that, hey, they're moving on. They've got, you know, their things are not, you know, as bad as you might think. I mean, that's the way they're able to spin it. Cause I think it would have been really tough if they went through the fall period. They've already lost Javon Quinterly. And if they didn't get these two guys to sign until the spring, you know, that would be even more people looking at them like, well, Jesus, if, you know, Brandon Williams and Sharif O'Neill, who said they want to go to Arizona, won't even sign, what the heck is going on? It must be really bad there. Therefore, other recruits might think twice. Cause right now, frankly, I think the biggest focus he has is the 19 and 20 classes, because 18 is just, who knows what's going to happen. And I think he's going to be scrambling in the spring to get a few more guys, and maybe we'll see him hit the grad transfer market pretty hard and all that. But, you know, at least as of right now, he can say, hey, we got these two guys, a building block, and, you know, things will go forward. And he was optimistic, and it's frankly about as good as he could have done, I would think, in this situation, because you knew Quinterly was probably going to decommit the way the investigation, information came up, and you know, I was a little surprised that those two guys didn't either. And they also, you know, a number of other guys decided not to consider Arizona anymore, and they dropped them. But those two guys stuck in there, which, you know, I'm not sure a lot of, you know, not sure everybody would have that happen. In fact, a lot of these other schools that are implicated in this report are also have lost recruits. Guys that have actually committed have dropped back, and so it's kind of putting on a good face in a really difficult, uncertain situation, basically, is what it is.
All right, Bruce. Well, I know you got to get ready for your travel plans as Arizona gets ready to go to the Bahamas. I mean, there's worse ways to spend your Thanksgiving, Bruce.
Like I said, it's rough, packing up for the Bahamas. But, you know, I'll deal with it.
Okay. All right, Bruce. Well, thank you for joining us, and best of luck to you in the Bahamas. And again, that's Bruce Pascoe from the Arizona Daily Star. You can follow him on Twitter at Bruce Pascoe. Thanks, Bruce.
All right, Bruce. See ya.
All right, take care. All right, special thanks to Bruce Pascoe for talking to us, getting ready to take on the Bahamas as the Wildcats go and will play in the Battle for Atlantis tournament down there. And speaking of Bahamas, it is a homecoming for DeAndre Ayton. We already mentioned that, but
yes, sir.
Sean Miller said something after Arizona beat Cal State Bakersfield that really caught my attention when he was talking about DeAndre Ayton. Let's go ahead and hear what Sean Miller had to say about his phenom freshman.
That there's a lot of people that are Arizona basketball fans that have seen great players over the years for decades. I know a lot of our season ticket holders that have been coming to McHale for, you know, decades themselves have seen some of the best, but I don't know if anyone's ever walked in who's been better on day one. I mean, he's an excellent passer. He's very unselfish. He can shoot the ball. Skilled. Physically, he's right up there. And he's starting to get better defensively. know, he works at it, and he'll continue to work at it as well.
So, yeah, that was Sean Miller talking about DeAndre Ayton, which is pretty it's not far-fetched because there has never been a player like DeAndre Ayton that has ever come 100 miles of Tucson, Arizona. I mean, he's 7'1", he runs like a guard, he plays with his face to the basket. Usually guys that big, they're your typical back-to-the-basket kind of guys, but he is a freak athlete. And just kind of an out-of-this-world basketball player.
Well, and I think the reason you're hearing Miller hype him up so much is because he's, you know, he's the highest-rated recruit Arizona's ever had.
True.
And Sean Miller specifically. And so when he comes in as the number one, number two-rated recruit, depending on what website you're looking at for recruiting rankings, you know, through three games, he's lived up to that hype.
Yeah.
And I think he's proved, I mean, he hasn't done anything to prove us wrong that in believing, you know, that he could be the special player. And I think, you know, that's why Miller has drawn some of these comparisons that he could be, you know, the best Arizona Wildcat of all time, or he was the best from day one. It's hard to argue right now.
And like you said, depending on what website you look at, I mean, we could sit here and say, okay, well, the other two better recruits are Michael Porter Jr., and the reclassified Marvin Bagley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are really the only two guys that I could see being, quote-unquote, better than Ayton at what they do. But those two are also going to be the face of the NBA here in, like, the next 10 years.
Right.
And I mean, they're going to be the young talent that is going to be the new golden age of the NBA, those long, small forwards. And, I mean, you could even look at, you know, bigs in the NBA and say DeAndre Ayton is going to be a part of that. I mean, look at Anthony Davis, look at DeMarcus Cousins, look at Joel Embiid.
Well, he's kind of that, he's kind of that new breed. I don't want to say new because Dirk, I mean, Dirk is the one who really started it, but he's kind of that big 7-footer, and I'm not comparing DeAndre Ayton to Dirk Nowitzki, but he's
Lowry
he's,
to him.
I mean, he's that big man inside who can play with his face to the basket, and he's can kind of do everything else on the floor. You know, there's not really a limit to what DeAndre Ayton can offer you on the basketball court, and I mean, when you think of other guys like that in the league, Dirk is the kind of one that started that trend in the NBA.
Yeah. So it kind of goes into the main part of this segment where Sean Miller pretty much created this when he said that no freshman has been better than DeAndre Ayton since day one. So we're going to go ahead and do the top five most impactful freshmen in Arizona history. And I'm going to go ahead and start it off at number five. I'm going to go ahead and say Gilbert Arenas. A lot of people, I'm surprised.
Agent zero.
We did a Twitter mailbag for this, so don't worry for everybody that submitted their top five. We'll get to theirs in a little bit. But Agent Zero, not a lot of people really affiliate Agent Zero with Arizona basketball, and that's solely because of his off-the-court antics in the NBA and the fact that he's not playing in the NBA anymore really says a lot. But Agent Zero, I mean, you look at his numbers. He played on the same team with Michael Wright, Jason Gardner, Lauren Woods, Richard Jefferson, and Luke Walton. I mean, you just say those names right there, and those are already a handful of names that are considered some of Arizona's best.
Absolutely.
And Gilbert Arenas, he was the third leading scorer on the team. But it was by 0.1. I'm serious. So you look at the leading scorer was Lauren Woods, who averaged 15.6 points per game. The next one was a sophomore, Michael Wright, who averaged 15.5 points per game. And then you had the freshman point guard, Gilbert Arenas, who had 15.4 points per game, 4.1 rebounds, and 2.1 assists. I mean,
you talk about point guard. Look at the names you just. I mean, that is. I mean, if that's not the quintessential point guard you at Arizona, I mean, you got guys like Gilbert Arenas, Jason Gardner, and then Luke Walton, the freshman. Luke Walton was on that team. I mean, you got a lot of guards there who are giving you good minutes, and Gilbert Arenas kind of stood out.
And guess whose jersey is hanging up in the rafters right now? Jason Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilbert Arenas had a more impactful freshman year than Jason Gardner did.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jason Gardner will always be one of the greatest of all time at Arizona, but Gilbert Arenas, that freshman year?
He's right there.
Whew, get at me.
Agent Zero for a reason, man. I guess moving on down the list, I think we can go these next two guys interchangeable at 4 and 3 on the list if we're doing these in order. But I'm going to go ahead and throw Jared Bayless in there.
Sure.
You know, he's kind of came in a weird time for Arizona, where they were transitioning from, you know, one of the best college basketball coaches of all time, Lute Olson, to Kevin O'Neill in that 07-08 season. So, I mean, you just look at the class Jared Bayless came in on. And again, this is the year after Lute Olson left and Kevin O'Neill was taken over for the Wildcats. This class consisted of Jared Bayless, Jamel Horn, Alex Jacobson, the seven footer from Matter Day, Zane Johnson, and Laval Lucas Perry. Just throwing one intermittently in there. So, you know, Jared Bayless was kind of the standout name in that class. And he was, I don't want to say a lone bright spot, but that team went 19-15, 8-10 in the Pac-10. And, you know, he was kind of that guy for the Wildcats team that year. And with not a ton of talent around him, you had guys like Budinger and Nick Wise and Jordan Hill on that team. But again, it was Kevin O'Neill's first year. Nah, I don't think a lot of people expected a lot of the Wildcats, but Jared Bayless came in, averaged 15 points a game, and you know, he was that impact player for the Wildcats that year.
And Pac-10 was also loaded at that time, mm-hmm. because you're talking about a UCLA team that had Russell Westbrook,
and Kevin Love. Yep.
And a USC team that had DeMar DeRozan, O.J. Mayo was on that team.
Yep.
And then I feel like there was Stanford. Stanford had the Lopez twins.
Right.
So the Pac-12, and also James Harden was up at ASU. That was
7-08. That was really.
That was James Harden's freshman year. Little fun fact right there. So the Pac-10 at that time was very loaded, and the fact that Jared Bayless was an all Pac-10 kind of player, that definitely speaks volumes.
And Jared Bayless, number one in total points of freshman at the University of Arizona with 592. Number two, who we can just throw an honorable mention right now, I guess, is Lauri Markkanen. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of guys that Jared Bayless is up there with. You may think Lauri Markkanen's a top five guy. Jared Bayless is right there with him. Guys like Gilbert Arenas, Sean Elliott, and all those kind of guys are up there in total points, but Jared Bayless leads the way.
Most definitely. All right, well, let's go ahead and transition into number three on the list. You mentioned his name, mm-hmm. Dom, and that was Jared Bayless's teammate, Chase Budinger.
Yes, sir.
Chase Budinger was in McDonald's All-American. He was a beach volleyball guy, so he's got hops for days.
You know he can jump.
And he was somebody that he played 1 year under Lute Olson, then played for Kevin O'Neill, and then played for Russ Pennell. So, I mean, he's been through it all at Arizona. But that freshman year under Lute, he averaged, or he wasn't a guy that would get you 20-plus points a game. But he averaged just under, he just averaged 16 points per game. But he would also get you 8 rebounds.
Right.
A few blocks. Well, and a couple assists. He was everything. And not only that, but a lot of people forget that he was a terrific 3-point shooter. I mean, when it came down to clutch time and Arizona needed a bucket, mm-hmm. he was right there. So I'm going to go ahead and put Chase Budinger at number three. Dom, who do you got number two?
I guess these next two guys, again, interchangeable. And, of course, you know, if you disagree with any of us on this, obviously hit us up, let us know. We'll get to the mailbag in a sec. But, like, these two guys, they're interchangeable. I mean, one's, I think, is the GOAT at Arizona, and the other one is right there with them. So we'll go number two, Sean Elliott. I know a lot of people, I mean, again, he's arguably, I mean, I would say unequivocally the number one Arizona Wildcat of all time. So when Sean Miller sits here and talks about Ayton being that kind of guy, I think Sean Elliott's the guy he's chasing. I mean, you look at what he did. What season was that? It was 80.
The 84, 85 season?
I want to say 85, 86.
Or 85, 86.
It was 85, 86. So, and I just want to point out the guys that Sean Elliott had a team with here. So Sean Elliott averaged about 15 points a game that freshman year. And he had guys on his team, the likes of Steve Kerr. Who else was on that team? He had Steve Kerr. Ken Lofton was on that team.
Kenny Lofton.
You had guys like...
why are we blanking on this right now?
My list's not loading here, but...
The point is, I mean, he had
a sack team. I mean, you know the Sean Elliott days at Arizona, and I think what Sean Elliott's done, I mean, it goes unsaid that he's one of the GOATs at Arizona, and what he did, you pull out 85-86 here.
And Craig McMillan.
Craig McMillan was on that team.
He was also on that team.
You're right.
I want to say... Anthony Cook was also a guy who was big. So a lot of – at that time, there was a lot of talent on the team.
Absolutely.
And Sean Elliott was at the forefront. Mm-hmm. Troy's finest.
Troy's finest.
As we like to say. So, all right, number one, I kind of had to get this out of Dom. Or Dom agreed to it, but but I had to kind of get this out of it because he thought Sean Elliott was going to be number one. But I said, no. How about the only guy to lead Arizona to a national championship? Of course, you know, Miles Simon was the most outstanding player for the 1997 NCAA tournament. But I'm going to go ahead and say Mike Bibby, a freshman point guard leading a program coined as Point Guard U to a national championship. And was one of the leading scorers and was also the primary facilitator. Not only that, but he was also part of a team that beat three number one seeds in the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Bibby, as Sean Miller said, you know, we sit here and talk about McDonald's All-Americans. If guys that come out of the All-American list are just regular cheeseburgers, Mike Bibby is a Big Mac. Sean Miller said that last year. He said Mike Bibby is a Big Mac, and rightfully so. He led Arizona to a national championship as a freshman. That is number one in my books.
Well, and you talk about, we talked about Chase Budinger kind of being that three-point shooter for the Wildcats. Mike Bibby was right there with him. I mean, one of the best, I think, three-point shooters Arizona's ever had, and he did it as a freshman. I mean, he's right there, and you look at three-point percentage, three-pointers made and attempted. Mike Bibby's going to be top three, if not top two, top one, leading those statistical categories all around. So he was kind of that. The way I look at it with Mike Bibby is, say Alex Barcelo came in, and of course you got guys like Parker Jackson Cartwright on this team who's a starting point guard, but say you had Alex Barcelo come in and he was forced to lead this team. I think he has more talent right now, Alex Barcelo does, and Mike Bibby was still able to take that team to the Final Four. Obviously, it's yet to be seen how far this year's team goes with guys like Alex Barcelo on the team, but what Mike Bibby was able to do his freshman year with that much talent, and he was able to stand out and be that guy that Arizona needed him to be to, I mean, make Final Four and win national championship.
One national championship.
As Lou Dolson would famously say.
All right, so let's go ahead and go to the Twitter mailbag. First of all, Tyler Hansen, at Tyler Hansen 1, he gave his list saying at number 5, Michael Wright. I get that. I mean, we would have to go back and mm-hmm. see because that mm-hmm. year that I mentioned Gilbert Arenas, Michael Wright was a sophomore. But Michael Wright did have a great freshman year. And he said number 4, Aaron Gordon, which I think is good. That's a pretty good pick. One of Sean Miller's best players.
You got all the Sean Miller guys like Aaron Gordon, Laurie Markkanen that I think you could all throw on this list. I mean, if not honorable mention, they're right there.
Number 3, I thought this was suspect. He said Jason Gardner.
Interesting.
And Jason Gardner only averaged 6 points per game his freshman year, the same year mm-hmm. as Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah.
So, just saying. And then he put number 2, Sean Elliott.
Right.
Which is...
Okay, we'll agree with that.
Number 2.
Again, Sean Elliott's one of those guys that can go 1 or 2. I think him and Bibby are interchangeable.
Yeah. And then number 1, he said DeAndre Ayton, which is pretty bold to say at this point now. And then somebody commented saying Bibby, and then he said, oh, duh. Pretty bad oversight. So I think he kind of got caught up in there.
And he's throwing Ayton in there. At the end of this year, I think Ayton's absolutely on this list. If he's number 1, I think is yet to be seen. But that's what Sean Miller's hyping up right now, and I think that's not far-fetched.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to at David Adler. His handle is at DGADLER 71. And he said, in no particular order, Ayton, Gordon, Bibby, Stanley,
interesting.
Elliott.
That's another Sean Miller guy that I didn't think about when throwing out those names. I mean, you talk about Laurie Markkanen and Aaron Gordon. I guess Stanley's one that you can kind of toss in there.
No, because Stanley got benched. Sean Miller benched Stanley at some point in the season. All those guys that we mentioned never got benched once.
Well, I'm not saying he's on the I'm not saying he's firmly on the list or up there with guys like Kelly and Bibby, but he's honorable an honorable mention kind of guy. I mean what he's done for Miller's team. I mean he played in Elite Eight and that's something in Arizona right now. So I don't think it's far fetched. Is he top 5? I don't think so, but I mean he's close behind if not there.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on. This one guy's name is Dirty 1592. He said Bibby, Elliott, D. Stoudemire, and then he said bunched up after those three. And I'm kind of curious, the last times I've seen Elliott,
mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know if they're talking about Sean Elliott or Bob Elliott.
That's interesting.
Because people forget about Bob Elliott. That was a Fred Snowden guy.
He wasn't a bad freshman either.
So, I mean, you can go either way, but I'm pretty sure he's...
It's Sean Elliott. Absolutely. It's a safe bet.
He's talking about Sean Elliott. Oh, and then, okay, I guess we'll go ahead and jump to our last one. We had Arizona Wildcat great Corey Williams, who was a part of that the mid-90s Final Four squad that lost to Arkansas. And great guy, is the founder of the Tucson Summer Pro League. He does work with ESPN, Pac-12 Networks, and he couldn't give us his top five. He said he should be in the top five because he kept that Final Four team's GPA afloat.
Corey, we need that list from you, man. We need that top five.
We need that list, Corey. But he did give us a certain list. And
this isn't wrong either.
I mean, if you want to talk about five greats, Corey's got it down packed.
Who are the five best rappers of all time? Think about it. Dylan, 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 and Dylan. Because I spit hot fire.
So Corey's not wrong. Corey's top five is not far off.
Shout out to Dylan and Dylan and Dylan and Dylan and Dylan. All right, guys. Well, I guess that's a pretty good stopping point. Again, you can catch the... Oh, you got something else to say.
Well, we got some comments on this in the mailbag. And I just... Again, hit us up on Twitter or on Facebook if I'm wrong in saying this. But the 1972-73 Arizona Wildcats, I would be shocked if it's happened since then. But their four leading scorers were all freshmen. So you guys, and a couple of these names were thrown into the mailbag, so that's why I'm bringing them up. You guys got, like, Keneal Norman, who led the team in scoring. They were 24 points as a freshman. And then you got Eric Money, Al Fleming, Ron Allen, and Leonard Harris. I think Leonard Harris was actually a sophomore that year. But those top four scorers from Keneal Norman to Ron Allen led the team in scoring as four freshmen. They deserve the air horn. The rap horn is very well earned from Keneal Norman and Eric Money and the guys. So that's a pretty phenomenal feat for a freshman class. I don't know if it's happened in Arizona history since. I doubt it has. If it has, let us know, please. I'm dying to know.
I guess it's not going to happen this year because Alonzo Trier.
Because Alonzo Trier is a thing.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you. Again, don't forget to watch the Arizona Wildcats as they take on NC State Wednesday. That will be aired on ESPN.
ESPN 3.
So you can't watch it on TV. It won't be on ESPN or ESPN1. It's going to be on ESPN3. So make sure you get out your laptops, tablets.
ESPN apps on your phone. It'll all be there. You go to any ESPN website, you'll be able to could hook in somehow.
And they'll be in the Bahamas. They're playing in the Battle for Atlantis tournament. That first game, like we said, against NC State on ESPN3 at 5 p.m. local time. So mark it down. Get it ready because the Wildcats are getting ready for their, I guess, first test.
First road test of
the season.
Absolutely.
Well, it's not their...
Not road, but they're
it's
traveling.
It's their first road game, period.
Right. Exactly. But DeAndre's kind of going... DeAndre, I guess, is the one guy who's traveling, but he's going to... Yeah, exactly. He's going home. Nice little homecoming.
Cool.
I think expect big things out of DeAndre Ayton this weekend.
Expect billboards.
As DeAndre Ayton will tell you.
All right, guys. Well, for Dominic, I'm Justin Spears. Don't forget to download that free Wildcaster app. It's got everything that you need from basketball, football, podcast, you name it. We got it on there. And also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. That's the Wildcaster. We'll see you next time.